fights with passion and he inspires.
Are you ready for a war? Yeah!
All right, welcome back to From A to Arbitration. I'm going to do an episode today. I was not going to do one. JB will be on tomorrow. He's going to cover the hour office time, and he's got some other things. It's going to be quite lengthy. But he's going to do one tomorrow. He's going to come in after he works. That way he didn't have to drive all the way here from his house today. So you will have an episode tomorrow. It will be JB, one that we need to have up, one that I have to have up because so many people ask me about it. And he's going to do it tomorrow. So that's going to be fantastic. So I wasn't going to do one today, but we had the Zoom meeting this morning on Build a Fighting NALC and had a lot of people attend it. It was very encouraging. A lot of heavy hitters on there as well. And I had some people message saying that they were not able to get on for one reason or another. Some were in training today. I think had a few from Region 3 talking about they were in training today, had some working today, and kind of wanted me to go over it. So I'll do that. I'll go over that Zoom meeting with you, kind of give my opinions on some things. So educational, I don't know. Something you need to know? Probably so, because shit's fixing to hit the fan as far as tickets being put up and where this current ticket is going to go. And so, you know, we're going to hit the ground running. And we'll just start with it with this episode today, talking about this Zoom meeting. I was asked to speak. We had a few other, Shantia Cox from Branch 4374 in Michigan, and also David Groskoff. You heard me talk about him last week. He's the president of Branch 3 in Buffalo. They also spoke, did a fantastic job speaking, and then they just open it up for anybody who wants to speak, and that lasted for quite a while. And that's good stuff. I love listening to those individuals speak because that's your brothers and sisters talking about the issues that they have. So I always love listening to those things. But what I was talking about was how to build a fighting NALC and what would I do and how would it look to me. And so I think that you see that in real time right now. You see those things in real time when you look at social media. Those are things that we didn't have back when I first started. We didn't have social media. Hell, we didn't have cell phones. So you got an easy access to what's going on around the country with just a push of a button on your phone. Also, Facebook, it drives a lot of activity and people voicing their opinions on there as well. You got to harness those things, and that will help you when we start talking about voting and getting out the vote and preparing to vote and getting people knowledgeable about the ticket that we're going to come out with. And, you know, those pieces are already being put on the table as far as what that ticket's going to look like. It will be much better than what's going on right now, especially with the top two. They will not make it. They will not survive this next election. But I think you're seeing it in real time right now, what that means, building a fighting NALC. When you talk about social media, you have podcasts now. When you look at Fed Up with Ron Speakman, just the name of that tells you where we're kind of at, Fed Up. So if you haven't listened to that, listen to Ron Speakman. If you go to FromAToArbitration.com, we put that link up for you to his podcast, and he does great work. But I think social media is the beginning point when you look at that as far as what that is entails. I think we're in a precarious position, and that's what I was talking about today. I think we're in a very precarious position with the union right now because, to me, it's kind of flip-flopped. To me, the union should be driven from the top. I know that you have to have a strong base, but I believe that it should be driven from the top with a very powerful president. And that president can help unite, can help embolden the members, can help mobilize the members. If you've heard me talk for the last year or so, when I talk about HIP, when I talk about safety, when I talk about workroom conditions, when I talk about all these things, I said that our president should have us in the street. He'll target different rallies that he's going to be at. That's convenience. But I thought he should have had us in the street. We've had to do that ourselves. And so I think that we're in a very precarious position right now, because it's the craft, it's the people on the workroom floor who are doing the work that our president and executive vice president should be doing. And they're not doing that. So we're in a weird position right now with that. I think that that's not how it's supposed to go. Some people may disagree. Some people say, hey, we're all the union, we all do this. Then why have a president? Why have an executive vice president? Why have a union? You know, those things are in place for this reason. Your president has to be a leader, and he has to mobilize his people. And this one doesn't do that. Matter of fact, he's horrible at it, and he disagrees with it. When you have people talking about when they come into town and they're like, man, we need to get out and do this. We don't need to do that, especially, and don't talk bad about the Postal Service. So, like my grandmother always say, if you hang around with skunks, you're going to begin to smell like a skunk, even if you're not. If you hang around with management, you're going to start smelling like management. And our top two smell like management to me. I think Renfro and Barner both smell like management, almost more than management does. And so they put us in a precarious position because they refuse to lead. They'll go and talk to different things, but hell, they're supposed to do that. But they refuse to lead. So it's left the craft, it's left us on the workroom floor having to do that work for them. And that's what this bill to fighting NELC is all about. It's how we're going to take that over. And so I liken it, and I talked about this movie today. I love The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. I watch those all the time. Matter of fact, every January 1, I watched every single one of them. But in The Hobbit, in Battle of the Five Armies, the last one in the Hobbit series, when all hell's breaking loose at the end of that movie and everybody's fighting, y'all remember Thorin Oakenshield, if you've seen it. If you hadn't, you need to go watch it. It's pretty cool. You remember Thorin Oakenshield was in the mountain, right? Refusing to come out, refusing to fight. Everybody's getting demolished outside. His people are begging him to go fight. They're wanting to rally around him to go fight. And he just ain't doing it. He just ain't going to fight. That's our president right now. You have people on this workroom floor, this bill to fighting NELC, all these other movements are because our union president refuses to fight. I've never seen anything like that in organized labor, where a president refuses to fight. It's bizarre at best. And, you know, maybe that's just not his nature. I wish I would have known that before I had him on my podcast. I wouldn't have had him on if I'd have known that the motherfucker won't fight. You know, him and Marshmallow, I don't understand their position as far as the top two in this union, where they just won't fight. It's odd. But finally, he went out and fought, but I don't expect this one to do that. We have to correct that first, okay? We have to correct that first. Now, there are things that we're going to do in between that time, because we still have 2 years till we can vote both of these worthless motherfuckers out. But there's things that we have to do on the workroom floor, things that we have to do as far as making sure that we stay mobilized, making sure that we stay educated and aggressive. Some business agents are in there with us. You know, some of them are in this fight with us. Some of them are not. And I get so many messages about those that have checked out, just waiting for retirement, so they don't give a shit about nothing. And that's harmful, you know, but what are you going to do? You know, we have to wait till election, and they know that. If you got a year or two for retirement, and you got two more years until you get there's an election, and you've just checked out, what the hell are you going to do? There's nothing we can do about it. So there are things that we're going to do down here on the workroom floor until then. I'll talk about that in a second. What's happened with the president and Marshmallow is if you've seen the movie Band of Brothers, the series Band of Brothers, it's my favorite series. Second would be True Detective, one of Matthew McConaughey. That's my second favorite. I've watched that about 100 times. That may be number one. and Band of Brothers second. Either one. 1A, 1B, whatever. But in Band of Brothers, when you had the Battle of Bastogne, remember when they were in the woods just getting shelled like hell, just getting destroyed? You had that leader, Dykes. Remember? Very educated. He was assigned from up top. He's had no experience in the battlefield. He was assigned from somebody up above. So they're in deep trouble because they know this guy is clueless and worthless. And every once in a while, he'll show up and he'll just ramble on about something. And then he'll take off. And you won't see him again. And he stays in the back. And he leads from the back. And that's our president now. He leads from the back. Every once in a while, he'll come out and he'll ramble for a while. And then he'll go back and leads from the back. So when it came time to fight, when they finally decided to fight, they go rush across this field. Well, Dykes, he's clueless. He just tells them to stop right there in the middle of the field. You know why? Because he's never been in battle. He has no idea what to do. Completely froze up. So they just had to replace him mid-battle with spears, remember? So spears just came in and said, hey, you do this, do you do that? Here we go. And they won. That's the current position we're in with our union. We have somebody that has never fought. He's never been in a battle. He's never been on that workroom floor long enough to be in those fights. Somebody from up above has put him in that position, and he's clueless as far as what to do on this floor. We're being overrun by the things that he's done and put into place with these memos and his signature. We're being overrun with that. Our district right now is being bludgeoned with this hour office time, stationary events, 22-minute load time. The AVP is telling the district those are standards. He's telling them those are standards, the 22 minutes. Even though they're not, you know, you have to grieve it and you'll win it. But that's what's happened because of this president not being on the battlefield, not understanding his enemy, not understanding the foe that we're going against. You've got to understand that those people that you work with, they might work with honesty, integrity. The ones that we work with do not. From the district, the area on down, are pieces of shit, and they will lie just to lie. And that's what he doesn't understand because he's Dykes. He got appointed by somebody above him. He's not on the floor long enough. He's not in those battles long enough to understand where we're at and what happens to us when you do stupid-ass shit like these memos. T-Rap is stupid-ass shit. It's working in some places. But T-Rap is a disaster. It is a complete flawed disaster. And we're being destroyed with that. Now, there are some people that say, well, in my place, it worked well. You got to understand union, baby. You got to understand how union works. If one of us is aggrieved, all of us are aggrieved. So when you sit over here and you say, it works great with me, that's fine. Then we're not going to worry about you. What about all these others that is being trampled off of T-Rap? That's union. That's union. You say, hey, mine worked well. What are we going to do to make y'all's better? That's union. But all these people on social media, I just don't understand. Ours works so good. That's fantastic for you. But that's not how union works. You remember when I talked about the finger? I talked about that. Hell, that was one of my first few episodes. And what I tell my carriers on the workroom floor when I do a stand-up is I hold my hand out, my fingers spread out as far as they can be. And I say, if I take this one digit, this one finger, and I poke you in the chest, it will be uncomfortable. You know, you'll probably be like, man, I wish you wouldn't do that. But if I take these five digits and I ball them up into a fist, I will cave in your chest with that. That's the power of the union. And when you say, hey, I'm over here, we did well, you're opening up that fist and you're spreading those fingers. When you're saying, man, I'm great over here, I've done well, we're doing great over here, you're poking. That's not the union. That's not how we operate. We're a closed fist for a reason. That way we can cave in the chest of any motherfucker that wants to fuck with us. And that's the mindset that we have to be if we're going to be a fighting NALC. We have got to go back to closing that fist. We've got people at the top. The top two up there are walking around with their hands out, fingers splayed out. They don't know how to fight. They've never been in it. Both of them are dykes. Oh, shit. So anyway, we've got to correct that, you know, when you talk about building a fighting NALC. The number one thing that I would do, and this is paramount if you're going to make it as a union. This is numero uno. If you want to build a fighting NALC, the number one thing is love, L-O-V-E, love. You have got to love me, even if you hate me. You have got to love everybody in light blue, no matter who it is, no matter what color they are, no matter what they call themselves, no matter who they're married to or who they're dating, what they look like. You have got to love each and every one. If you do that, we're well on our way. We're well on our way. If you love, we're going to be fine. I can forgive anything if I know that you love me and you're fighting for me. If you love me and I know that you're fighting for me and we fail, I've got your back, baby. I'm going to pick you up. And we're going to carry on because that's life. That's just how it works. That's just how it fucking works. Love me and fight for me. We will win. We'll lose some things. And I'll talk to you. Y'all remember I talked to you about the two arbitrations I had. One, we won. It was here in Nashville. And the other was in Montgomery. And I know what y'all are saying. Y'all be like, Montgomery? That's Alabama. What are you going down there? I thought they blackballed you. That's funny. I'll tell you this, and then I'll tell you. Well, I lost the case. I got the decision back the other day, and I lost it. I'm going to talk about that next week. It's the tale of two arbitrators. It's the same arbitrator with different opinions. And so I'll talk a little bit about that decision next week. But, I was not allowed to go out of my state for over a year now, maybe 2 years. I can't remember when the last time I did because they had blackballed me. And so I get a call, said, hey, we're going to send you to Montgomery. And I'm like, hey, y'all letting the wolf back out? Yeah, we're going to send you down there to Montgomery. So I'm thinking, you know, hey, they're giving the RGA and all these others these non-compliance cases, which those are pad your records cases. They're non-compliance. Those are the easiest ones. I'm like, don't give me a good non-compliance case. Go down to Montgomery. What is it? It's somebody stealing gas. I was like, you motherfuckers, you. But hell, I went down there and had a hell of a time, man. We waylaid management in that hearing. Matter of fact, the young lady that was the advocate came out afterwards and she like, we really thought we was going to win that. And I said, well, hey, no matter how bad it went in there, it's always 50-50. And that's what JB tells anybody who asks, what I tell anybody who asks, it's always 50-50. She's like, no, we lost that. That ain't going at all like we had hoped. I was like, trust me, I've been in these enough. It's always 50-50. Well, I lost. So, I just thought it was funny. We're going to let you get back out of the state, man. Oh, you're letting the wolf back out. Yeah, this carrier's down there stealing. Oh, well, shit. But anyway, kind of got set up a little bit, but that's fine. I had fun anyway. I go to North Pole and do an arbitration, man. That's my shit. And we raised hell in there, though. We had a good time at it, but hell, lost the damn thing. But I'll talk about that next week. But anyway, what was I saying? You got to love. You got to love everybody. Some may be more difficult than others. Trust me, I know. But you still got to love them, right? Do that, man. Do that first and foremost. And we will be a highly successful union. I'm talking about highly successful. You love me. You love the craft. The craft will bend over backwards to make sure you succeed. I know that for a fact. You know how I know that? Because I've been in this craft 30 years. 30 years. I've seen it all. Love me. And we will bend over backwards to make sure you succeed. We don't have that right now. We have people incapable of that. Matter of fact, they're the exact opposite of that, how they treat people, especially Marshmallow Man, how he treats people up there, shows that he has no love. He's just bitter, just a bitter little fella. And you can't be that way and be a good leader. So you love, right? I always tell the story when I went down to Kira's branch, Josh Brault's branch, and did some training. I told about my grandson. He calls me Home Dog. And so we go to the park, and used to go to the park all the time, especially right after my divorce. I would go get him because my daughter still lived with my ex-wife. I'd go get him, and we'd go to the park together and spend time together because it was when he was born, it was just me and him, right? His dad was non-existent. And so it was just me and him. And so that kid is my life. If you know me and you know him, that's my guy. My grandson is my guy. And so when we go to the park, he'd be walking around, you know, he could barely walk, and there'd be a little crack in the bushes, a little sound. It'd scare the hell out of him. Well, he'd turn around, man, those eyes would be wide as saucers, man. He'd come running over to me, and I'd pick him up, you know, and he'd be looking, pointing with that little hand. I'm like, what is it, baby? He'd be pointing in the bushes. I said, so I'm trying to get you. And he'd look at me and put his head over on me. Do you know why he came running to me like that? Because he knew that I would destroy anything that came out of those bushes trying to hurt him. He knew that. He knew that one thing, Home Dog, loved him and would sacrifice his life. He knew that. Yeah, he would come running to me because he knew Home Dog has got me. He loves me. And if it's a bear that comes running out of them bushes, I'm in that ass. And that's how we have to be. And that's what love will produce. Love will produce that. It will produce that kind of passion for your people. Whenever I do stand-ups and things, people are always like, man, I really appreciate your passion. Well, that's love. That's love. You've got to love us. You do that, we're already going to win. You've got to put the city letter carrier first. And I've said that a million times. When you talk about building a fighting NALC, you love us and you put the city letter carrier first. Those are the two things. Those are the two most important things. Everything else will fall into place. Everything else will fall into place. I'm going to say this, and I don't know anything about anything as far as these charges are concerned. I've read the Weir report, and now it's up to the committee of three. And you should probably be hearing something within the next week or so, I would imagine. And I don't know anything. I'm going to say this. When you talk about love the city letter carrier and put the city letter carrier first, you're fixing to see the exact opposite of that with this vote. You're going to see the establishment be put first. I promise you that. On my name. If that doesn't happen, I'll change my name to whatever. Y'all can have a drawing what you want my name changed to, and I'll change it. Or I'll let Pony Boy, Marshmallow Man, name me. I'll let him change my name. If this doesn't happen, you're fixing to see the establishment take over this vote. You got four charges up there. I doubt it if half of them make it. You got four charges being brought forward, and I read them to you. Mark my word, the establishment is fixing to take over this thing. You're fixing to see the enablers put y'all last. And that's just the way it fucking is. I'm telling you, I have seen this too many times. Too many times. You're fixing to see the establishment circle the wagons around this worthless piece of shit as a president. Watch and see. And I guarantee you, if half of them make it, I'll be surprised. out of the four, if half of them make it. But the ones that do won't be shit. They won't be any of the big ones. They'll just be minor ones that they can just blame it on alcoholism. Watch and see. I know these motherfuckers too well. I know these motherfuckers too well. You're fixing to see the city letter carry be put last in these charges. And that's just the way it is. And that's the reason they will fail. That's the reason they will fail. They don't care. They're immune to anything because they are the establishment. For far too long, they've ruled the roost. They have taken care of themselves. It is the ultimate good old boy system at the NLC. If you want to look at good old boy system, go to Washington, to NLC, and that's it. When this vote comes out, remember good old boy. Because that's what it's fixing to be. I promise you that. I've seen these motherfuckers in action too long. But anyway, you got the enablers, like I said, those fish and all these other things I've used to call them, that just put hickeys on this motherfucker's ass, just sucking on his ass. He drags them around like a, you ever seen a wildebeest drag like four or five lions around? That's him walking down the hallway at National with all these ass kissers on his ass. Just, he's dragging them around. He's dragging them down the hallway. They're just latched onto this motherfucker's ass like a bunch of leeches on his ass, just sucking that ass. And you're fixing to see the ultimate ass sucking coming up here when these charges get brought down, man. I'm telling you. But they have forgotten what it is to love city letter carriers, if they ever did it at all. They have forgotten what it means to love city letter carriers, if they ever did at all. And sometimes I question that. They have forgotten definitely what it's like to put the city letter carrier first. They have definitely forgotten that. Now, the one at the top don't know because he wasn't one for any time. Like I said, I spent more time on the shitter than this sumbitch has spent on the workroom floor. And so he has no idea what we're dealing with. That note, that letter that he sent that guy saying it's an inconvenience that they're watching y'all and bugging the shit out of y'all about stationary events. As a fighter, as someone who loves me, as someone who puts me first, an inconvenience will start a war. If you say, I'm sure you're being inconvenienced. If you love me, that will start a fight. I'll say, what are you talking about? They're doing this. Well, they're doing this. Well, then let's get the fuck on it. Let's get the fuck on it. Y'all remember the movie The Town with Ben Affleck? One of the greatest scenes ever was when he walks into the apartment with his buddy. And he says, hey, we got to go do something. I can't tell you what it is. I can't tell you where we're going. I just need your backup. And dude says, what car are we going in? He doesn't say, hey, what do I need to bring? What do I need to do? What are you talking about? Maybe I'll get beat up. Maybe something happened. He says, what car are we going in? That's how you have to be as the leader of this union. Motherfucker comes up and says, man, some shit's going down. Where are we going? And we're going to get there with what? I've told you before. We're going to get there with bad intention. That's the leader of this union, how it should be. Anybody, we're talking about shepherds, right? And sheep herders. Remember that? We're talking about shepherds. Anybody that goes astray is potential to be overtaken by lions or those that want to hurt us and harm us. Anybody that goes astray is potential for that. So make sure we keep them in the flock. So anybody that comes to you and says, hey, this is happening to me, motherfucker, let's go. Let's fucking get it. What I say? The motherfuckers are back and we're going motherfuckering. And that's the leader of this union, the mindset that he must have. At all times, we're going to go motherfuckering. And we don't have it. We got motherfuckers that are marshmallows, that refuse to fight, that give in to labor, that give in to the Postmaster General, that have forfeited all of their integrity to labor and to management. They wouldn't know what motherfuckering meant if you don't ask them about it. But we got to be that character that says, hey, I need your backup. We're going riding. Motherfucker, let's go. We'll take my car. That's what we need, right? I hear so many people talking about striking And I get it. I get it. Do not go there. And I've talked about that. And that chaps some people's asses. They're like, man, you're militant. I'm militant, but not stupid. Okay? We can't do that. But let me ask you this. And I'm being serious, too. I'm being serious. Let me ask you this. What would you strike about? And what would you strike for? Seriously, what would you strike for? If you had a list of things. Huh? Did you ever think about it? Other than to say we need to strike, what would you strike for? And hey, I like I said, I get it. I get the frustration. I promise you I do. I get the frustration. I live it. If you saw my emails and my messages, I live it every day, the frustration. Would you strike, talking about TRAP, the disaster that it's been? We signed off on it. So who are you going to strike against? The contract, would you strike about that? We had somebody that we voted for that was non-existent at the beginning of these negotiations. No telling how far that set us back. Then got pissed at the very president who tried to help. So what are you going to strike about there? We don't have no contract. We're responsible for that. Look, this is how it's going to be every contract. We come in high, they come in low. Does that mean that almost 500 days later, we should not have a contract? People will come in, those ass kids, and say, this happens all the time. The reason it happens all the time is because nobody says, put a fucking stop to it. If you say every time we do it, well, this is how it always happens, it will always happen that way until somebody says, hey, we're going to build a fighting NAOC with a transparent bargaining unit, right? Our transparency during this entire process is what we're going to be known for, like auto workers, like Teamsters. Well, we can't do that because we're different. Bullshit, you're fucking lazy and you're trifling. And you don't want us to know what you're asking for. That's the only reason that that would happen. So you're going to strike about the contract? We're responsible for that in some degree. Because our president was non-existent when these things began. No telling how far that set us back. So is that what you're going to strike about? You're going to strike about the pay? We don't know what it is yet. You're going to strike about two-tier? We don't know what that is yet. We don't know if it's still going to be in existence. You're going to strike about the CCAs? Don't know what that's going to be. You're going to strike about the abuse? Did your president tell y'all to get in the street? Or did he hide when shit was going down as far as hip with our brother Mr. Gates? When he was talking about we want a pound of flesh because we wanted that sorry motherfucker out in the streets with us. Raising hell about Mr. Gates. And this bitch-ass son of a bitch going to talk about we're wanting a pound of flesh. What are you going to strike about? Because the problems are at our place. You're going to strike against us? You're going to strike against our president? That motherfucker's worthless. I've told y'all that for a while now. We thought that he would do well. We was hoping that he would do well. We was praying that he would do well and fell flat on his face the second he stepped into his office. You going to strike about that? You going to strike about working conditions? Is that what we're going to strike about? Your leader won't even get out on the fucking street, man. What'd they tell you? What'd they tell you? We don't want to upset management right here. What in the fuck you think a strike is for, bitch? What do you think getting out in the street is for? What do you think raising hell in all these cities is for? To upset the apple cart, right? To bring awareness. Do you know who's going to see all that? Arbitrators are going to see all that. Us raising hell about the working conditions, us raising hell about the falsification of official documents, which is what that is. And if you say that you don't have a team that can put that in place for a national level grievance, fire everybody up there. Fire everybody up there because take an issue statement from where they falsify clock rings and apply that to HIP. You know why? Because it's an official document. And if you can't see that, fire everybody up there because all of them are fucking worthless and taking our money. So what are we going to strike about, folks? Look at our own. Look at what's happening in Washington, D.C. On our side, the Postal Service is the Postal Service. They're pieces of shit. I've told y'all that. And I know they listen, they talk to me about it. Y'all are pieces of shit, man. Their most dishonest workforce in the country is postal management. And that's what we work with. And you got dumbass Barner, this marshmallow, walking around with labor, just his hands in their pockets, behind him like some dude and girl at prom or at a high school football game. Just lay back into me. Put my hands in your pockets. You know, this son of a bitch is an embarrassment. Yeah, fucking embarrassment. We're going to strike about that? Hell, that's on us. I promise you, I get the frustration. I get it, man. I get it. We hadn't had a contract in however long. They're wanting us to work without one. Look at your own. Your president was non-existent. Was AWOL. When it was critical. The most critical time in our existence as an NALC is contract negotiation. And he was gone. Well, you want to strike about that? We can't strike, okay? We can't do it. And we're not going to. We've got to correct our own shit. That's what we've got to do. People are talking about we're just going to all get out of the union. What for? Why? Why would I pay for this? Do y'all remember way back when I had the episode about the home security system? Why am I paying somebody a home security system? All my shit got stole. Remember that? I see more and more people talking about we're going to get out of the union. I would not advise that. Right now, what we need to do as a craft is come together even more and show our unity down here on the workroom floor. CCAs. You talking about mobilizing? I saw it today on the Zoom when y'all were talking about on the side, mobilizing. Good for you. Mobilize, CCAs. You say, well, why? I'm not going to be one that long. That's not how the union works. I fight for CCAs more than I do anybody else. Why? Because they're treated like shit. They're treated worse than third-class citizens in a lot of these cities. You got management so power-hungry and on such a power trip, they destroy the CCA. Mobilize CCA, especially in this next election, and turn this election the way we want it to go. You can do that. You can do that. On this podcast, I said I wasn't going to make it political. Fuck all that. Fuck all that. When it comes time to vote CCAs, every damn week, I may do one every day, telling y'all to mobilize yourself to vote. Those new hires that National said they don't consider because y'all don't vote, every single day, I may do a damn podcast every damn day leading up to the vote to get y'all's ass out there to vote. You want to build a fighting NALC? Put motherfuckers in there that are going to fight. Put motherfuckers that roll up to the house with the window down and say, motherfucker, get in, we're going motherfuckering. That's what you've got to do if you want to build a fighting NALC. You have got to put people in place that know how to fight and will fight. We don't have that right now. We have cowardice on a biblical scale at the NALC. Don't get out of the union, whatever you do. Matter of fact, we should be encouraging more and more to get in it. When it comes time for this new vote, we need everybody to be a damn member. Everybody to be a member. Because when we hit the ground, we're going to hit the ground running. And we're going here, we're going there, with bad intention, correcting shit that's been fucked up for the last few years because of the cowardice that we have at the top. I'm telling you, shit's coming. I'm telling you that. Shit is coming. Be ready. Be ready. What can we do on the workroom floor? What can we do as craft? those business agents that are still in the game, what can we do? We can educate. You can never get enough of that. And you're going to have some of the best you'll ever hear tomorrow when JB comes on here. We can educate. Get your people ready for when this new regime comes in. They're going to be ready to fight. We're still going to fight down here, man. We're still going to fight. You know, we will never give up. We will never give up. We will always fight down here. Protect your people. Stewards, protect your people. If your steward's not doing it, vote the motherfucker out and put somebody in there that will protect the people, okay? Encourage your members, whoever it is, presidents, formal aides, shop stewards, business agents, encourage your members. Encourage your brothers and sisters to stay in this fight. Most of the times, that's all it takes. Just a little encouragement, man. Hey, I know shit's hitting the fan right now, man. Stand up. Stand up. Let's fight. We will not bow out of this fight. Okay? Stand up. When I talk about getting the flag, get the fucking flag and let's keep moving. We're going to do that. We owe it to the people that are going to take over this union. We owe it to the ones that are going to come into this union that everything's not going to be broken. We're going to educate. We're going to protect. We're going to encourage. And we're going to keep getting ready. We're going to keep getting ready. Okay? You want to build a fighting NELC? To me, that's how you do it. So that's kind of a synopsis. Of course, I only had 10 minutes this morning. That's, what, 40-something minutes. Like I said, I wasn't going to do them, but somebody asked for a little synopsis. I kind of went off a little bit there. But building a fighting NELC, if it was up to me, that's how I would do it. And that's where I would start. Okay? First two things, baby. Love me. Love your people. Love your people. And put us first. You put us first, you will always win, even if we fail. You will always win, even if we fail, because the carriers will always have your back. If they see you fighting and get knocked down, we're going to pick you up. If you tell us to fuck off like y'all fixing to do with this vote, then that's what we're going to tell y'all. And y'all be looking for a new position. You're going to be anyway. This new ticket's coming in. There's not shit you can do. And I'm not taking that back. I don't care how good they turn out. We've already decided shit's changing. That's already been decided. We can't take that back. Even if we wanted to, we can't take it back. You're being replaced. Just how it is. Some up there don't like me talking like that. Fuck off. How you like that? We don't like him talking about these lions coming in. The lions are fucking coming in. There's not shit we can do about it. There's nothing I can do about it. It's happening. It's coming. There's a new regime coming in. I don't know what you want me to say. I get messages all the time. Man, they're hot as firecrackers up here, man. You're talking about, good. Should have been hot back there when this motherfucker was laying down in bushes. Should have been hot back then when he was hiding all that shit from us. It's too late. It's too fucking late. A ticket's coming in. And they're taking over. And they will love the city letter carrier. And they will put the city letter carrier first. Or I will have nothing to do with it. Right? If I'm going to put my name on something, you're going to love the city letter carrier. And you're going to put us first. Always, in every decision that you make. Wait and see about this vote. See if what I'm saying is right. You're fixing to see the establishment take over. They're going to circle the wagons around this fucker up the top. You're going to get, if half of them make it, I'd be astonished as far as the four charges. If half of them make it, I'll be astonished. And the ones that do, I could call it out what's probably going to make it. But, yeah. The enablers have ruined the NELC, the good old boys system, like I said. We are coming. We are coming, baby. If I know anything, it's that. You motherfuckers are fixing to be replaced and take your good old boys system and shove it up y'all's fucking asses when you do. I'm sick and tired of how you done my people. I'm sick and fucking tired of how you done my people. And I will not tolerate it any longer. And I'll make sure. Like I said, I'll do a damn podcast every damn day. A month before the damn election to make sure people are mobilized, energized. They educate their people on who to vote for. I'm going to do that. That's from me to you. I promise. Okay? I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. All right? Okay. JB's on tomorrow. Next week, I'm going to do Publication 552. I've got to. It's going to be a long episode as well, probably about an hour and a half on that one. I'm going to talk about that removal that I lost, A Tale of Two Arbitrators. I think you'll like that. It's pretty good. It'll be pretty good. JB, tomorrow, like I said, our office time. Make sure you tune in. I always said the one he did prior about the 3996 Pet and Doe should have been the most listened to. Current situation, this right here needs to be the most listened to episode I've got, the one he's going to do tomorrow. Okay? It should double every episode that I've had. I'm telling you, it's going to be that good, and we need it right now more than ever because management's lost their fucking minds, and the NLC is running around with their thumb up their ass, oblivious. So JB's going to take care of that for me. Get on Discord. If you get on from 8arbitration.com, Discord and Reddit, both of those things are on from 8arbitration.com. Get on there. You will not regret it. I promise you. I promise you. Ron Speakman's podcast, Fed Up, there's a link to that on there. Listen to that one as well. The name is fitting for right now. And Ron does a fantastic job. We talk quite often. While I'm on my route, we talk. So also, Thomas Eckler, and I hope I say your last name right, Thomas. Thomas Eckler, E-K-E-L-E-R. So how do you say that? Is it Eckler? I guess so. Thomas. Anyway, he is making some From 8 Arbitration hoodies. I've got four of them. And so he makes them in your college colors, your favorite college. Obviously, mine's Tennessee. So I've got black and orange, an orange and white, a gray and orange, and there's another one. But anyway, he makes them in college colors. It's From 8 Arbitration. The thing on the front's got a saying on the back. He's going to put that, if you go on From 8 Arbitration, I'm going to have Jeremy put that up there. I don't get any of that money before somebody starts running that damn mouth. I don't get any of that money. But they are awesome looking. They are fantastic looking. And he's got the email that you can email him and request those. But I saw some Michigan ones going out. He said he's doing quite well, matter of fact, with them. And I saw some other colors going out, colors of your favorite college, their hoodies. And they really look good, and they feel good. And so I'm going to give him a little prompt. But I'm going to have Jeremy put that up there and still get your shirts now. But Jeremy said we had the biggest day we've ever had last Friday. I don't know what happened, unless a branch got some. I don't know. But we're going to represent in Boston anyway, so we'll show out in Boston and show them that we're sick and tired of this shit. And so, but Thomas, I appreciate you, man. And I'm going to put that on from 8arbitration.com where y'all can look up those hoodies. They're pretty damn cool. And so, again, I don't get any of that money. So if somebody starts talking shit, I don't get a fucking penny. And but anyway, JB tomorrow. I love each and every one of you, man. I love each and every one of you, whether you like me or not. Even those that I call names, I love them too. And I'd fight for them. I just think they're worthless as shit. And so I will talk to y'all next Sunday. We'll do Publication 552 and A Tale of Two Arbitrators, all right? Y'all have a great week. See y'all tomorrow with JB.